From Bigfoot to ghosts, aliens to the afterlife, this is Nightcast. And now, here is your host, Ian Morris.
Welcome to the night. Do those on the other side try to communicate with us? Is it possible that they have found a way to use our electronic devices as a media for communication? Are they just trying to communicate, or are they dark, hostile entities that are sending us a warning? Our guest tonight has been a Hostile Haunts investigator and resolutionist for over 35 years. She and her team, the Hostile Haunts Specialists, have helped to resolve many hauntings. She helps to refer cases and acts as a consultant for hostile hauntings all over America. She is also the author of Never Forever Dead, a book on hostile hauntings, and another book entitled Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages. From Florida, joining us tonight, Lori Champion. Lori, welcome to Nightcast.
Thank you.
So, Lori, you are a Hostile Haunts investigator and resolutionist. Tell us about yourself. Tell us how you got into it. Tell us where you come from, your whole background. We'd like to hear all about you.
Okay. I was born in New Jersey, and the reason I got into the paranormal field was because when I was a little girl, my mother was divorced. She and my grandmother bought a house together, and we moved from Weehawken to Union City, and they found a two-story house with a full basement. It was a two-family house, you know. You could rent out the upstairs. And it was just too good of a deal to pass up. And they bought it. So we moved in. My mother was not well. My mother had cancer. She was having surgeries and such. And she had gotten married, and she couldn't do the stairs. My grandmother lived downstairs. We lived upstairs. In the basement was a ghost. Not just, you know, a normal ghost. I saw a shadow. This was a very violent, miserable spirit. And she attacked me on a regular basis. In New Jersey, in the winter, you can't hang your clothes outside because they freeze. And we didn't have a dryer back in the day. I'm an old broad, you know. Well, I got stuck with the laundry detail because in the winter, we hung the clothes in the basement. My stepfather had put up clotheslines in the basement, and I got stuck with that because my mother couldn't go down two flights of stairs, and my grandmother lived on the first floor, but she wasn't too keen on the stairs either, you know. Well, I was about 8 years old, and I had my first encounter with that ghost. It was horrific.
Was it a physical encounter?
Not the first one.
Okay.
The first one, I was downstairs hanging clothes, and I saw her. I saw her. She was skulking around in the back of the basement. And I ran upstairs to my grandmother, and I told her, there's a lady in the basement. And she says, there's no lady in the basement. I said, there's a lady. There's a woman in the basement. She's wearing a white nightgown, and she's in the basement. And she's all dirty. So my grandmother goes and makes it down the stairs, and we look around. And she says, honey, there's nothing here. You're just scared because it's the basement. Basements are scary. Don't worry about it. Just hang the clothes and get it over with, and it'll all be good. I'm like, okay. Well, I go down to retrieve the clothes the next day. Now, these were bed sheets. I was a little girl. It's hard enough to handle bed sheets, being a little girl anyway. You know, they're kind of big and bulky. So I'm taking them off, and I'm putting part of it over my shoulder, you know. I hear a noise, like a scraping noise. I look, and I don't see anything. I'm like, okay. So I ignore it. And I'm scared because I saw this lady the day before. But I'm thinking, oh, it's just a rat or something, you know. We got a critter. This is what my grandmother kept telling me. It's probably a critter, but it's a lady, you know. She thought I was hearing things. She didn't realize I actually saw this woman. So I'm hearing noises now, and I'm thinking it's a critter because Grandma said that. All of a sudden, I see her again. She kind of goes behind. There were these lolly columns in the basement. She moved one, like, behind a wall of boxes and disappeared around the other side. So now I'm getting the sheets as fast as I can because I want to get out. Out of nowhere, one of the sheets that I've got is halfway off the line. Comes off the line the rest of the way, wraps around my body like a human taco, Something picked me up and just held me horizontal and dropped me on the floor.
So this was a physical attack.
This was the first of many physical attacks. This ghost sent me to the emergency room again and again and again. I was screaming. My grandmother came downstairs. I was still trying to fight my way out of the sheet. My grandmother, what are you doing? What am I doing? You're getting your sheets all dirty. I'm like, what? So I told her what happened, you know. And she was like, at first she didn't believe me, but then my elbow had, you know, in the basement was bluestone, and we had cement floors. And my elbow had smashed the floor when I got dropped. And my elbow was all, you know, swollen and red and what have you. So they took me to the doctor, and he said, well, it's not broken, but it's a very bad bruise. You know, that was the first one. Then another day I was down there, and I was doing something. And my grandmother was a little bit of a hoarder, not upstairs in the house, but in the basement. She lived through the Depression, so she never threw anything away. You might need it one day. And she had boxes stashed and stored up in the rafters of the basement. And one box, it was like a big shoe box, was full of broken and half-used candles. There was another one that was full of old pencils and stuff. Well, I was down there doing something. I don't remember what I went down there for. And I heard a noise, a scraping, and the pencil box came down. And the pencils went all over the ground. So I'm on the floor picking them up, putting them back in the box, you know, like squatting.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably about 10 years old by this time, because I'd seen her a bunch of times, but this was, you know, things that happened. I was pushed down the stairs, pulled down the stairs, but, you know, it would stop for a while, and then it would start up again.
Lori,
so I hear a scraping.
Lori, do you find in your investigations that it's the person that is being haunted, or is it the location that's being haunted?
That's a very good question. Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to say 85% of the time it's the person.
It's the person. So you were...
The other 15%, it's the location.
So in your
it's
case...
It's not like they show you on TV where as soon as they find out there's a ghost, you do the research, and if someone died there, it's automatically considered to be that person. It's not like that. It's not that cut and dried. It's not that simple.
Right. So in your case, when you were a child, was it that you were being haunted or was it that 15% where it was the location?
Well, I'm going to wrap this up.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got a box of candles came off the rafters as I was looking up, hit me in the bridge of the nose, blackened both my eyes and knocked me out. I again went to the doctor. Then I had gone to the emergency room because of glass being thrown at me because of going down the stairs, pushed, pulled. When I was 14, I was a dancer, by the way, a ballerina, and I was going to do a Nutcracker performance that weekend. I was very excited. I got to the top of the stairs and turned the light switch, and the light didn't come on because someone had pulled the chain downstairs. I started down the stairs. I heard a clatter, and the next step I took, I stepped in a metal colander and went down the whole flight of stairs.
Oh, my gosh.
When I hit the bottom, I landed on my tailbone. I was hurt bad. My ankle was toast, forget that, from colander, you know. I knew I wasn't going to be at that performance, and for the first time, my teenage hormones, I don't know what it was, I just lost it. I stood up. I hobbled into the middle of the dark basement. I screamed at this woman. I told her, you are never going to hurt me again. I'm not afraid of you. Why don't you come out here, you coward? I just went crazy. And then I made it my business to get my hands on everything I could find, to learn everything I could to deal with this woman, to deal with this haunting. By the time I moved out of that house, I was 19 years old. I had not only talked to this ghost with a tape recorder, I had made friends with this ghost. I did research. I found out her whole life story. And she told me the first and last name of the man I would marry that I had not even met yet.
That's incredible.
So she was pretty cool in the end, but she had an axe to grind. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. The majority of hauntings, in her case, yeah, she was haunting the location.
So this was,
that was her home. She had lived there.
This is one of the 15%.
Yeah, she was one of the 15%.
But yet she was physically attacking you.
Yeah, but there was a reason.
Okay.
She was going after me.
Okay, what was it?
Number one, I was the only one that usually went in the basement. I was down there more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older, I would go down there with my friends and we'd, you know, hang out down there. I had a theater group. We would go down there and the band would practice there. She had a field day with them, let me tell you. But
so she attacked anyone who went down there?
No, she didn't attack them. She would do things just for shock value.
Okay, so but not a not like what you received.
No, no. Well, she hit somebody in the head with a drumstick, but threw a drumstick across the room. But she stopped terrorizing me and my friends when I was about 16, because that's when we came to our agreement.
And so this is what made you become a...
Yes, because I was a little girl, and I was terrified, and I was getting hurt. And no child should ever have to go through that.
You know, I agree, but I would think that you would shy away from it. I mean, most children would shy away from it. You're pretty brave.
It depends on the person, though. I was a strange kid, and you know what's funny? My parents, they tried. First, they didn't believe me. Then, after I kept getting hurt, they believed it. Then my grandmother actually saw her. My grandmother saw her. And she was, that was the end of that. She was like, okay, she's not hallucinating. This is real. She's getting hurt. We got to do something. And my stepfather was Cuban, so he called a Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
The priest came out. He blessed the house, blah, blah, blah. Did absolutely nothing. My Aunt Charlotte, who was a Lutheran and like the religious holy roller of the family, came flying over there with her Lutheran minister, you know. Oh, you know, we'll take care of this. Well, that didn't do anything. And we kept going and going and going, you know. And my other great aunt brought the rabbi. That didn't work. And the rabbi said something to us that no one else said. He said, you know, there's a spirit here, but it's not necessarily an evil spirit. It's a very troubled and tortured soul. He said, and, you know, I would like to tell you that I can get rid of it. Said, but the rules are not that simple. What we think is evil and what's evil in the big picture are two different things. This is God's decision, not ours. He allowed her to stay here for a reason. This is part of her learning experience. This is something she's got to finish up. So I was like, great, you know. But you know what? He was right. But he's the only one who even acknowledged there was anything there. The other guys just came to pacify us. It was pacification. Oh, yeah, we'll bless the house, you know. We don't believe it, but we'll bless the house. You can't fight something you don't believe in.
Incredible.
So I learned later on that rabbi was absolutely right. A lot of times people will call me. My website says Hostile Haunt Specialist, and we are, because if there is a hostile spirit, we know pretty much after 36 years of doing this, at least I've got a handle on what we can and cannot do. My biggest motto is do no harm. If I can't make it better, I'm not going to make it worse, you know?
Well, you know,
but,
Lori...
most of the time, what people perceive as hostile spirits are not. 90% of the time, they're not. They've got some issue. Or there's something they want to tell you. I can't tell you... I had a grandmother, Ian. I meet a lot of grandmothers in this field, dead grandmas. She was creating. You would think there was a demon from hell in the house, the way she was carrying on. She pushed a man down the stairs. She threw him off the couch. She enlisted the help of like 18 other spirits, and she tormented this property. Do you know why?
Why?
Because somebody was molesting her grandchildren.
Wow.
That's why. And she was hell-bent on making sure that it came out, the information was passed on, and something was done about it.
Incredible.
And you know what? It was incredible. And turned out that it was very true, too.
Well, Lori, I'm going to have you hold right there, because we are coming up on a break. And when we come back, we're going to ask you the difference between ghost hunters and ghost resolutionists. As well, Lori has brought us some ghost EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. We'll be right back. I'm Ian Morris.
This is Nightcast.
We're back from break. This is Nightcast. I'm Ian Morris. Our guest this evening, Lori Champion. She is a hostile haunts investigator and a resolutionist. She is also the author of Never Forever Dead and another book, Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages. Lori, you brought us some EVPs.
Yes, I did.
Well, let's ask you a question first. Now, what is the difference between a ghost hunter and a ghost resolutionist?
A ghost hunter goes out looking for ghosts. Ghost hunters came about after the advent of the TAP show in 2006. There are people that get together and grab all kinds of electronics and go running around looking and searching for ghosts. They'll go stalking the graveyard, which is the biggest waste of time ever. And they go to supposed haunted venues. Sometimes they'll pay good money to buy tickets to go in and do this. I don't condone ghost hunting. I don't promote it. I think it's a very shallow and dangerous practice. I get several calls every year from people who did this and wound up coming home with something they couldn't scrub off with Ajax.
So it follows them.
And they're like, I'm haunted. You got to help me. And I'm like, well, why did you do that? It's like going out into a dark alley and saying, hey, come and get me, fiend of the night. And then getting upset when it happens. So that's what a ghost hunter is. They're not doing it for any spiritual calling. They're doing it either for thrills, for kicks, or some of them will tell you they're doing it for science. And even if that's the case, that's all well and good. But the powers that be may not see science as a viable reason to harass the dead.
Right.
So, you know, it's just not a very progressive thing to do. A haunts resolutionist is somebody that goes to help when a person calls me and says, hey, I've got a haunting going on in my house. Something's going on, and I'm getting hurt, or I'm getting scared, or whatever. Haunts resolutionists will go out there. We will get to the bottom of it. We'll try to figure out the who, the why, okay, the who, the what, and the why, and then try to resolve it from there. And most of the time, the majority of all hauntings are usually human spirits. And with human spirits, they're people. And with people, you have to negotiate. It would be great if we could just go in there and pray them away. But it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Unless you have something truly evil, you're not going to really get any help to kick them out because they have a right to be there.
Lori, is this why ghost resolutionists are more successful at getting EVPs than ghost hunters?
Yes, I think so.
Because they
really do.
Because they're there to solve the problem.
Well, see, the thing is this. From what I've learned from talking to dead people, ghost hunting is frowned upon by the spirit world. To them, it's a harassment. It's an intrusion. They find it insulting. They're like, you know, this is ridiculous. So, you know, a lot of people I know, they have different belief systems. And I always say God has no religion. But one thing I've learned in doing this work, if somebody said to me, what's the one thing that you can say without a shadow of a doubt that you learned from doing this? I can tell them, I've learned that we don't make the rules. There is a higher power. We are immortal. We do not die. And if that's true, we've got somebody to answer to. And that means there are rules. And we're not always privy to all of those rules. You hear mediums all the time. They're going around saying, oh, the spirit is lost. I have to guide them to the light. I have to show them the light. Really? How is she going to show them the light? Has she ever been there? Does she have any idea where it is? What it is? If it is? That's kind of ridiculous when you really sit there and think about it. You know, I live in Florida. Where do you live, Ian?
Actually, we're in Hawaii.
Okay. If you're looking for a room in Hawaii, are you going to call me in Florida and say, hey, Lori, how do I get there?
Right.
I'm not going to know. I live in Florida, for God's sake.
Right.
Right. Right?
Right.
Hawaii's a world that I don't know.
Makes sense.
So why would you need me to get you there? There are a lot of Hawaiians that you can turn to that can get you there in 5 minutes.
Makes a lot of sense. Lori,
okay.
Shall we get to our first EVP?
Sure.
This is an EVP of an Anklot Cemetery, a Native American chant. Can you tell us about it?
Okay. I have some friends in the paranormal field, and they were working, trying to learn how to get EVPs. And I happen to have a friend who is buried in the Anklot Cemetery. I live in Anklot. Okay, I don't believe in taking people to someone's house and calling up spirits if we don't have to. It's not a good idea. So I took them there because my friend would have, you know, talked to us. Plus, I know that area and the whole area is haunted, not just the cemetery. Spirits don't really hang out in the cemetery. No one wants to hang out with their rotting corpse. But there are ghosts in the woods around the cemetery. And there are things that hang out in the cemetery that are not very nice. Predatory entities, parasitic entities. That's why I tell people don't stalk the graveyard. But there are woods around the cemetery. And that's where we were. Because I know that those woods house a lot of spirits. And we got this EVP. It's a Native American chanting. If you listen, he says, Ponce de Paspura Tundale. And he enchants the end. That's why I said I wish I would have put it in a loop. But it's a very good EVP. It's very curious. And just because of its uniqueness, I brought it.
Okay, so we'll listen to it three consecutive times. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Okay.
And that's actually very clear for an EVP.
Yes, it is.
Now, what do you do to cleanse and enhance those?
This was not actually in the cemetery. This was in the woods outside the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And the woods are pretty quiet. You don't have any white noise. You don't have any street noise, nothing.
Right.
So your EVPs are going to be cleaner.
Well, do you cleanse and enhance them? How do you do that?
Sometimes I do. If an EVP comes in, well, surprisingly enough, a lot of investigators, they don't even find half of their EVPs because they don't know what to listen for. They disregard EVPs thinking it's a noise or it's this or that because they don't understand how the sound waves work. Most EVPs, you're going to have to boost them to hear them. Another thing is the majority of EVPs come in at a very high rate of speed. So sometimes you have to slow them down. Now, that one I didn't have to do anything with. That was just an awesome EVP. That doesn't happen all the time.
That is really...
A lot of times it's a whisper.
Yes, I've heard those.
Sometimes it sounds like a strange noise, and then once you beef it up, you realize it's a voice.
Right. What is the translation, or do you know the translation of this?
I have no idea. I have sent that to many Native American linguists. The information I could get was this. It's a dialect of the Timucua, but it's not the modern. See, the Timucuans are an extinct tribe. There are other tribes that have similar dialects that came from the original Timucua. But that right there, the only reason they know that is because of the second and the last word. The rest of it, God only knows.
That is
so
incredible.
We were never able to translate it.
Well, we're gonna listen.
It's a dead language.
We're gonna listen to it one more time. Let's go ahead and hear it one more time. That is one incredible EVP.
Yeah, it actually sounds a little fast when you're playing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it's probably because it's a copy of a copy. It's actually, the normal EVP is a little slower than that.
It's a little bit slower than that. Out of how many recordings do you actually get an EVP?
You're probably going to think I'm being facetious, but you can call any one of my clients and they'll verify this for you. If I go to a place and I go in there in goodwill, I always get EVPs. I tell people the same thing. People ask, you know, what's haunted? Any place people have ever lived or died, there are spirits. And if you are there under the right circumstances with the right attitude, 9 times out of 10, they will talk to you. It's not, you know, it's not rocket science. If you're there to ghost hunt, no, they're going to curse you out. And chances are they're not going to talk with you. They're going to play games with you.
Right. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next EVP. It is entitled "I Push the Wave."
This
Tell us about that.
This is probably my favorite EVP of all time, for the simple reason, you know, people always say, you know, why don't you talk to them and ask them questions? I do. I have a theory about how EVPs are created. I've had this theory for years. I have an article on my website that says, how does EVPs happen? And I explain it. I always thought that what they did was they picked a sound wave and they rode the wave. And then they would slam it and create what you call constructive interference, the same way we create radio signals. It's all done through constructive interference.
Incredible.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to it, because we're running a little bit short on time, and I want to get this in before we go to the break. So let's go ahead and take a quick listen. Now that, again, that's a fairly clear EVP.
What he's saying is, I pushed the wave.
He's saying, I pushed the wave.
And what I did was, I asked the spirit, because he was very loud, and I could hear him very well, because I play it back as I go along. I'm there on my laptop with my recorder, feeding it into a computer and talking back. And I said to him, let me ask you a question. I said, can you tell me how you make an EVP?
And the answer?
You know, he says, I push the wave.
The wave.
The wave, meaning the sound wave. That's any wave I can think of. And it kind of gave me validation of what I always believed.
Really incredible.
And that's worth its weight in gold. I mean, because you've got something validated. We never get that.
Yeah, really. Well, on that note, we're going to have to push the wave, because we're coming up on another break. So when we come back, Lori Champion will present more EVPs. I'm Ian Morris, and we will be right back.
Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com. This is Nightcast.
From break, this is Nightcast. I'm Ian Morris. If you'd like to become a guest on Nightcast, you can email us at nightcast@radiob88.com, or you can go to our webpage at radiob88.com and go to the Be a Guest page. Lori Champion from Florida joins us this evening on Nightcast. She is the Hostile Haunts Investigator and Resolutionist, also the author of two books, Never Forever Dead and Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages. Lori, tell us about your books.
Well, the first one, Never Forever Dead, is about hostile hauntings, or what people think are hostile hauntings. I wrote that to give people a little insight into what really goes on in the field and what people perceive as hostile, and sometimes it's not, and what happens when you have a real hostile haunting. The second book is a very broad topic. I wrote that book to pass on what I've learned in 36 years of working in this field. And that's a long time. And I've come across so many things, and I've learned so many things. And I wanted to pass it on what good is doing the research if you're not going to pass on what you've learned?
That makes sense.
So I wrote that book, and I called it Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages, because right now, the majority of things that were being presented on TV and online and in the movies are really very, very untrue. It's a lot of misinformation. And the things that we have discovered, nobody's talking about. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to try to get some real information out there. That's what I do with my website, too. I'm not here to entertain people with ghost pictures. I'm here to tell them what I've learned and to present articles with real information.
Kind of the real deal. Your books are the real deal.
Yeah, especially that last one. I like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in that book is from my personal experience. I hate when you pick up a paranormal book and you know this person just took a bunch of other paranormal books and pulled out excerpts from this guy and this guy and this guy and put it in one book, and you're reading the same thing you've seen 100 times before.
Right, right.
I hate that.
Your
my book, guaranteed you're not going to see that, because I'm rocking the boat pretty much with that book, because I'm questioning and I'm saying, you know, well, remember this? Everybody's telling you this, but it's not true. And this is why, you know?
Very interesting. What about your other book, Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages?
That's the one I'm talking about. That's
the one you're talking
about.
What about Never Forever Dead? Tell us about that.
Never Forever Dead more or less focuses on hostile hauntings and how people perceive things as opposed to what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about some hostile hauntings. It talks about some hauntings that were not so hostile that people perceived that way. When people are desperate, they go to extreme measures. That applies to people on the other side, too. If they have to tell you something important and your life depends on it and you're not paying attention, they're going to throw stuff around, they're going to push you, they're going to do whatever they have to make sure that you get somebody in there to be able to deliver that message.
Lori, are most problem spirits evil spirits?
No.
They're not?
No. Most problem spirits are somebody with a message to pass on or an axe to grind.
What are the causes of most hauntings?
Well, I have an article on my website. This is what causes hostile hauntings. But hauntings are caused by human drama 88% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
God, people are people in this life and the next. They have issues. Sometimes the issues never, you know, they still have them.
Right. Lori, I read something on your website about residual hauntings or replay hauntings. What are those?
A residual haunting is not really a haunting per se. A residual haunting is when something is recorded on the ether and comes back around. Stone, wood, lime rock, all kinds of things actually record sound. Sound is a wave that goes on forever.
Does it just keep...
And it just bounces from one place to another and winds up back where it started sometimes. Walls record these sounds and they play back around. I could give you an example of that. There's a young man, he's very much alive, but his girlfriend tried to murder him. She ran him over with a car 3 times. They were sitting in a cemetery doing the lover's lane thing. They were on drugs and alcohol. An argument ensued. He got out of the car. She tried to kill him, and then she left him for dead. She ran the car up into a fence. The car got stuck. She left. He was screaming for help for an hour and a half. Finally, somebody heard him. Went out there, they got an ambulance, they saved his life. He was in the hospital forever. He's built head to toe right now from titanium, but he's alive. But if you go to that location and you turn on a recorder at night, on a weekend, you can hear him screaming for help. Now, it's not a haunting. He's not even dead.
Lori, does that go on for eternity, or is it just perpetual?
I don't know. See, that's just it. I don't know if it goes on for eternity. I don't know how long the imprint stays there. I think emotion has a lot to do with it. Emotion is energy. The more emotion you have involved, the more energy is being projected.
Mm.
Now remember, this is a guy who's dying. He's screaming for help to save his life. How much emotion, how much power, how much life force is going into that?
A lot of energy.
Now, he's surrounded by woods, okay? Woods also, the woods amplify sound, they amplify energy. Wood is a great absorber for all kinds of energy. So I don't know how long it's going to go on, but I have recorded it myself. And it's true. Now, that's a residual haunting. It's something that there's not a ghost there. There's no active intelligence there.
It's just energy replaying.
It's just a replay
of
an old event.
Makes a lot of sense. Lori, you've brought us some more ghost EVPs. The next one we have that you brought us is entitled Tarpon Springs. Can
yes,
you tell us about
Tarpon Springs?
Tarpon Springs.
we were at a haunt case in Newport Richey, and we were talking to a lady, and I said to her, "Are you from here?" I meant, like, are you here, like, from this house? And she says, Tarpon Springs. In other words, she's from Tarpon Springs. Tarpon Springs is a neighboring town about 10 miles away. She was letting me know that, no, she didn't live there. She's from Tarpon Springs.
Really?
And it was just so clear.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take a listen to that EVP. That is really incredible. Now that you told me the story behind it, when you first sent these to me and we reviewed them,
you were confused.
I was confused. What is that a spring that's going off or something?
No, but you
but
see,
then,
the point there that's really cool is we ask ourselves questions all the time. Spirits sometimes don't remember things. I had one spirit tell me they don't remember their name, but this lady remembers the town she came from.
The town she came from. That is really incredible.
She remembers the town where she lived. And she has the conscious ability to tell me, no, you know, that I'm from here, you know.
Let's hear it one more time. Well, that is very clear. Once you know what it is, and when you first heard that EVP, did you know exactly what that was?
I knew exactly what she was saying.
You knew exactly what she was saying.
You know what it is, too? I'm so used to listening to EVPs. It's like anything else. You develop an ear for it. You know, you do it long enough, and you're going to have a very sensitive ear to it. And that one, I heard it. Everybody in the room could understand her. When I played that across my computer speakers, everybody was like, she said Tarpon Springs. I said, well, yes, that's where she's from, obviously.
Now, what instruments do you use to capture EVPs other than a recorder? Do you use anything else, or is it just a recorder?
Nope, I just use a digital recorder. I used to use analog recorders years ago. Analog recorders will get you more EVPs. The problem is, they also get you so much noise that you can't hear the EVP. You can't clean it up properly. All you need is a digital recorder. You don't need any white noise. White noise doesn't create EVPs. It makes them unintelligible. You don't want anything that's going to cause white noise. You don't want to use a noise generator. You don't want to run water. All of those things, they don't help you. They hinder you.
Lori, let's...
Spirit's going to find a wave. In fact, you know what's really amazing? And this, I think every paranormal investigator has experienced this. You'll find an EVP right after your voice, right after someone living is done talking. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because long after your voice stops, if I say to you, Ian Morris, how are you? The last thing you're hearing is you. But there's a sound wave that continues to go on for a good 15, 20 seconds at the end of my voice. It's a vibrational wave. It's a sound wave.
Right.
They ride that wave. They jump on it and they ride it.
I push the wave. That makes a lot of
sense.
They
ride it because and they can use other waves too. They can use other sound waves, but if they use something else, it might sound like somebody scratching on paper until you put it through the filter and realize that it's a voice. The reason you're hearing that scratching noise is because what's coming through are consonant sounds. K's, C's, T's. S's. So what you're hearing is sounds like static.
Right. Okay. So
you
the
slow
next.
It down, you beef it up, you got the vowels.
Right. The next EVP that you brought us is I Paid My Dead Time, You Never.
Yeah, this one's a little hard to hear, but it's got a story.
Okay. Let's listen to it first and then we'll have you tell us the story. Okay, Lori, go ahead. Tell us about this.
I was at a haunt case in Elfers, Florida. This is a young man who had come back from the war. and he had a lot of relatives there that were watching over him, okay, as he came back with injuries, and he also had PTSD. He had been through hell and back. So there were a lot of people there watching over him. And there was a lady there who actually was one of the people that raised him. And it was not his mother, but it was an aunt. It was somebody who had raised him. And she wanted the floor. She wanted to talk to us. She had things to say. And she wanted to address his wife. She had issues with his wife. You know, typical in-law stuff. So there was another man there that was his father and his father's brother. There were two men there. And they kept trying to talk. And she kept telling them to be quiet. And we were laughing about it. We thought it was hilarious. She wanted the floor, and no one else was going to get in on it. And there were other spirits that did not belong there also that were trying to talk to us. And she was getting annoyed. And finally, she tells the one guy to butt out, you know, again. And she says, after that, she says, "I paid my dead time. You never."
Oh.
Now, that got me, because what does that mean? You know, we think about the afterlife. We know nothing about it. What does she mean by that? "I paid my dead time. You never." She did something that he did not do. Therefore, she's more worthy to talk to us?
Wow.
How does that work? How does that work, Ian?
It's really incredible. And, you know, I wish I could answer you. But we are coming up on one more break. Lori Champion is our guest this evening. I'm Ian Morris. And we will be right back.
This is Nightcast.
We're back from break. This is Nightcast. Never miss another show. Become a Nightcaster by going to the Nightcast page at RadioB88.com. And as a special Nightcaster, you will always be notified of new and upcoming Nightcast shows. Lori Champion from Florida is our guest this evening. She is a hostile haunts investigator and resolutionist. She is also the author of Never Forever Dead and another book, Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages. Lori, you have brought us some very good EVPs this evening. Now, I want to ask you a question. What does not work for stopping hostile hauntings?
Most of the things that you're told. Burning sage. Sage works in a scientific way. It produces a negative ion atmosphere. Ghosts can't move their energy very well through a negative ion atmosphere. It lasts for 24 to 48 hours, and then it's over. Now you have a very angry spirit. It's like giving a tranquilizer to a grizzly bear. When he wakes up, watch out. Sage does not work. Holy water does not work. If I throw holy water on a bad man, will he go away?
No.
No. If I throw holy water on a bad man's spirit, he's not going away either.
Right.
I'm going to have to get somebody who comes from his world, from a hierarchy, to come and take him away. That is the only recourse I have. burning white candles. Spirits love candles. They enjoy it. They love to play with the flame. They're not going to not come around because you have a candle. They're not afraid of your religious icons. We all have our religion. We all have our belief system. But in the end, we don't know. We don't know which one is the right one. And from what I've heard from spirits, none of them are the actual real deal. We don't get to find that out till we die.
So on the list, I mean, not a lot of what people have been brought up or heard, not a lot of that works. So if a person... Well,
there is a higher power, and appealing to that higher power will work, and it will help, and you will get the help you need if you have a spirit that's actually evil, someone that is doing harm.
So if a person's being physically attacked by an entity,
what
should they do?
Honestly, believe it or not, spirits only have as much power as we give them. A lot of the reason that we're physically attacked is because when we're scared and that adrenaline starts pumping, that little electrovital grid that runs our heart and our brain in our body boots up, and we're putting off high-octane gas, so that goes.
So we feed them with
energy.
They're
absorbing that energy, and they're using it against us, and that's how they had the power to actually move things and hurt us.
So once we cease to fear them, we kind of take the power?
They already are at a disadvantage. They're already at a disadvantage.
What percentage of hauntings in homes are you successful at resolving?
I resolve about, I would say, good 85% of all cases I go to.
That's and very high.
It doesn't mean that I get rid of 88% of hostile ghosts. I resolve the haunting because it's not always a hostile spirit. Resolving it means getting to the bottom of it and giving everybody what they want so everybody's happy and everything comes to a stop.
Okay, so let's go on to another one of your EVPs. Now, this one is really interesting. This is the pirate.
Oh, I love this.
And go ahead and tell us what the pirate says.
Okay, we were at a place in Hudson on the water. This was a known area where pirates used to go and hang out and hide treasure and drink. But there was also a farm there at one time where people lived and generation after generation lived. Well, this place is haunted as hell. There's no nice way to put it. There's a million spirits there, and the activity is off the chain. Well, my daughter and I had walked out of the porch, and there was a man standing in the backyard down by the lake. And we saw him, and I saw him, and my daughter saw him. And we started to walk towards him, and we had a recorder in our hands, and there was another recorder in the yard also. And she says to me, what are we doing? I said, we're going to go over there and see what's going on. And she says, what if he comes after us? I said, he's not going to do anything. Really? Hell no. So we're walking towards him, and he says, "Arg, Chick's going to show me."
Oh, great. Okay, so let's listen to that real quick.
He was very comical. We talked to him for quite a while. Very comedic man.
So he says, "Arg, Chick's going to show me."
Arg, Chick's going to show me. Like, in other words, he's listening to our conversation, and he's being sarcastic.
Let's take a quick listen to that. Oh, that's incredibly clear.
Now, if you listen to that voice and you play it for anyone on the street, they're going to say, that sounds so scary. That's demonic.
It sounds...
Because it's deep. It's a deep voice.
Right, right.
Okay? But he was telling us jokes by the end of the evening.
He was telling the you have some of those?
No, I don't have that with me.
I was just going to say, I mean...
But he was hilarious. He was joking about members of that family. That's why I don't have it with me.
Really? Let's
he's
hear...
He's kind of making fun of something. He's not a mean ghost at all.
This one actually makes me smile. This one makes me smile. Let's hear it one more time. Oh, that is really, really good. That is a very, very nice EVP.
That is one of my favorite EVPs of all time.
So what are human?
I called him the Pirate of Sea Pies. That's where it was. So the location.
So human ghosts. What are they capable of?
A human ghost?
Yes.
They're capable of doing just about anything you see in the movies. Things that people automatically relegate to demonic behavior. Bad smells. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a ghost that smells like he wet his pants and sat in the dirty pants for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
He was an invalid, okay?
Right.
And he came complete with that smell, and he was not a demon, you know? But they can create smells to make you, you know, think things, remind you of something. They can move objects. They can fire things across the room.
So they can...
They can mess with electronics, with electrical things. They can touch you, and they can hurt you if they choose to do so. They can create what's like a second-degree burn on your skin if they choose to do so.
So they can do a lot of physical...
So, yes, they can do a lot of things that people in certain... factors will say only a demon can do.
Okay, so your next EVP, and this is the last one that we have for this evening, and I got to be honest with you, this is kind of my favorite because it's the little girl.
Oh, she's so cute.
And it's...
You know, it's cute, but it's sad at the same time.
It's almost haunting.
It is haunting.
And so how did you get this EVP?
Okay, I was at a house where there was a haunting, and there was a lady there whose husband had passed away. He had been sick for a long, long, long time, and he suffered a lot. And we were talking. There were relatives there, you know, dead relatives, spirits we had been talking to. And the one woman was a relative of this lady. She had a girl with her. People always talk about child ghosts. Child ghosts are very rare. When a child dies, there's somebody waiting for them almost every time. That's why you don't see any real child ghosts. Most of them are adult ghosts pretending to be children. But when a child ghost does come around, they're always in the company of an adult that they trust. And this little girl was no exception. She was there with her grandma. And we were talking amongst ourselves about how much this poor man suffered before he died. And I was like, you know, I can't understand why he lingered so long. Because they said that they were even praying for God to take him. And that he hurt so bad and he suffered so much. And this little girl interjects because the recorder's going. And she asks us, why does God do that?
Okay, so let's take a...
Which means that she doesn't know either.
Right. Let's take a quick listen to that.
Why does God do that?
That is, it's sad and haunting. It's exactly as you described
it. Even though it's sad, it does something again. It's a gift. You know why?
Why is that?
Because it tells us one more time that, yeah, there's a God.
There is a God. Yes. Yes.
Why does God do that? She's dead. She's over there. She knows there's a God. She may not understand even now why he does the things he does.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows he's there.
Her voice is very clear in this. Let's hear it one more time.
Oh, yeah.
Why does God do that? Why does God do that? Why does God do that?
That is a very, very nice EVP.
It is. It sure is. That little girl's name was Caroline, by the way.
Caroline. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Lori, our time is up for this evening. We'd like to thank you very much for being our guest on Nightcast, and we'd also like to invite you back.
Well, thank you for having me. It's fun.
You can find the links to Lori's website by going to the RadioB88.com website. Go to the Nightcast page, and on the Nightcast page at the bottom, you'll see a link that says Nightcast Shows. Click on that, and you'll see Lori's show listed for tonight. And you'll see the links to her books as well as her website. Make sure you go and check that out. And we'd also like to thank our Nightcasters, our guests, for joining us this evening on Nightcast. Until next time, I'm Ian Morris. Good night, everyone.
This has been Nightcast. Be sure to visit the website at RadioB88.com.